suppose I feel that an inquest is an inquisitorial process, and it's really aimed at to establish the facts surrounding an unexpected death. And in this instance, obviously, it's coming up to 3 years to the anniversary of the late Mrs. Buick's death, and it's obviously been very difficult on the family in terms of the length of time it has taken. And it's been, you know, there in the background the entire time, and it's been adjourned on at least one occasion. So that part of it obviously is mostly due to COVID, so it hasn't been anyone's fault really or anything like that. I suppose we were looking for a verdict of medical misadventure, and just to clarify, that's a deliberate act which gave rise to an unintended outcome. It's not to say it was negligent or anything like that, but we got a narrative verdict, and we were happy with that because it was a death due to an anaphylactic shock due to an allergy to penicillin following ingestion of penicillin, which had been prescribed. And obviously the deliberate act in this instance was the prescribing of the penicillin in circumstances where the poor lady had a very significant allergy to penicillin. So the cause of the death has been established as, you know, in no other circumstance other than an anaphylactic reaction to the ingestion of prescribed penicillin.
And that narrative, a narrative, it is, I suppose, as descriptive as you wanted in this, even though you didn't get what you were looking for in terms of the medical misadventure.
We looked for medical misadventure, but we felt that the fact that the narrative reflected that it had been prescribed penicillin as opposed to penicillin that was somebody just took by accident themselves, if they had an antibiotic in the house or something, it had been prescribed by the practice that Mrs. Buick was attending.
Okay. John, if I can, first of all, say, look, very sorry to hear, obviously, what had happened and what has happened and the process of what you've had to go through. It's been a very long time, a very difficult time, you can only imagine, for your family.
Yeah, it has been. It's been quite long, you know, just trying to get to the bottom of what happened. It's when I found out that she was in intensive care due to taking penicillin. I initially knew that, well, why did she take penicillin and who gave her the penicillin? It was one of them that I had to dig into and look into and try and just basically get to an understanding of how this came about, you know.
Yeah. And John, look, take me back to that time if you can. Obviously, it's been a very difficult 3 years since with COVID, with all the delays, but I suppose the initial shock of losing her so quickly and so unexpectedly.
Yeah, I mean, I basically live in England, obviously, and I was working down in Brighton. I had 10 missed calls on my phone on the morning of the 15th. I phoned my sister to find out my mum was in intensive care, so I got a flight straight over. Unfortunately, I got to the hospital and I think she passed out about six hours later. So I didn't really, you know, get to say a proper goodbye. She was, I think, clinically brain dead when I got to the hospital. So, but seeing her in ICU with all the machines and all the, you know, the tubes, the wires, that was pretty difficult.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And the shock of it happening so quickly, I suppose you were so unprepared.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it was one of them things with my mum that she had an anaphylactic reaction when she was 50 to a penicillin, but she was a lot younger, obviously, back then, and a lot fitter, and she got through that. So from then, it's always been there that she can't take penicillin. So it came as a surprise and a shock to me that she actually was prescribed penicillin.
Mm. John, what kind of a person was she?
She was a lovely lady, you know. She'd help anyone. She moved over from England with my sister. My sister lives in Ireland. So my mum moved over sort of for the retirement stage of her life. She'd help anyone out, you know. She was the old matriarch of the family, like.
Yeah, certainly was. And look, how difficult was the wait then? It obviously it was July 2019. the process then started. You obviously probably didn't know much about how the process works in terms of inquests, as a lot of families do in these situations. And then the pandemic hit and further delays that left you 3 years to get to yesterday's point.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite frustrating. Like Niamh said, it was just nobody's fault. But I think I was due to fly out 3 days after the first lockdown. And then obviously things got postponed and delayed, and we're sort of 3 years down the line to actually having the inquest yesterday. So yeah, it's been a long, long, frustrating wait to just, like, on a knife edge, you're just wondering when it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And look, were you satisfied as much as you could be in a situation that is with the outcome yesterday?
I am. I think Niamh Callan-Tansey and Alistair Rotherdale done a fantastic job for us, for the family yesterday. To just get to the facts, you know, that's what I was after, the facts of how she was prescribed a drug that she was so badly, she had such a reaction to. And, you know, I got my answers, what I was looking for yesterday.
Okay. Niamh, as you're hearing there, I mean, John's reaction to it has been a very long process. COVID has played its part. There are wider issues, as we know, with the inquest service in this country and resources devoted towards it, but it can be very hard, even at the best of times, for families.
It can be really hard, and I think it's very important to emphasise that, you know, the Buick family really wanted to ensure that this never happened. Something as simple as a warning system highlighted and flagged on every patient's GP record, just how important that is. And just to see how, you know, there was four different notifications on Mrs. Buick's, within her records, where, you know, had they been noted or had they been adequately flagged, this would never have happened. And just the importance of ensuring that all systems, you know, highlighting allergies, for example, if you send your child to a summer camp, you're told, oh, do not have any peanuts or any nuts, or, you know, we're all so aware of how significant allergies can be, and in this instance, it cost somebody's life, you know, and the devastation that has, you know, visited upon this family. So even if that is something that people hear today, and that every GP practice in the country or whoever is listening, make sure that they review their files and audit everything to ensure that any allergies are there, bright and clear and red on the top of a file, so that when anybody opens it up immediately, we've all got systems in place and practice systems. And I think the two doctors in question did say that they have now robust systems in place. But unfortunately, obviously, it has a devastating effect on the Buick family. But hopefully, that the fact finding that we did get through the inquest process, yeah, will lead to a better outcome for others.
Does that underline, I suppose, the importance of having inquests, that these things get highlighted and changes get made and people across the country in particular professions get notified?
Absolutely, and obviously, and as well as the fact that the inquest is not a blaming, it's an inquisitorial process. It's not apportioning whether somebody was right or wrong. It's just the fact and leading to that kind of an outcome. And I felt that Coroner Lucy dealt with the matter very sensitively, and that people were free to express exactly what had happened. And I suppose it's very important that system remains in place and that it be, you know, adequately resourced, so that people aren't waiting. I know there was particular circumstances in this instance which led to a huge delay, but 3 years is really far, far too long for any family, and once the restrictions were uplifted, things could have moved a bit more quickly had, you know, the inquest system. I know that's under review in any event at the moment, but hopefully it would lead to it being adequately resourced and people getting their answers quicker, because they need to move on and families need closure. And it's a very tragic circumstance. Nobody ever wants to visit an inquest or to have to be at an inquest in respect of a family or friend member. But it is a very important process.
Yeah. John, finally, to you, look, is that important for the family, the fact that, first of all, you got the answers you were looking for, and secondly, that this will be notified and this is less likely now to happen to another family down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially we gave about some bullet point questions, myself and my sister, and basically the top of the list for both of us was what changes are going to be made, what systems are in place, how are you going to improve it so nobody goes through this again or no family goes through this again. So hopefully, like what Niamh said, that anyone listening today or doctors, surgeries, that they do audit and review their systems.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, I want to thank both of you for talking to us on the programme this morning, and John, in particular, your family, our thoughts are with you as you've gone through this process. But thanks for giving us your views on it.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.